Now, since we had more of a spiritual feast this morning, and admonition to faithfulness to the Lord, I thought for this afternoon we'd talk a little along the lines of the regathering of Israel. I feel, friend, there's a great misunderstanding in regard to Israel among the people. And often, too, we find it's so among the Bible students. But I believe, friends, if we follow the truth movement and the truth very carefully, as had been given to us by that faithful and wise servant, why, we'll have a little better understanding about the house of Israel. Now, in the 15th chapter of Acts, I'll read that. We often quote it. I presume you all could do that. But I'm going to read it slowly. 15th chapter of Acts, beginning the 13th verse. They were having a conference, a convention at Jerusalem, and James was the chairman. St. Peter gave the talk, and after he sat down, James rose to his feet, and he was very much enthused, somewhat excited, because of what Peter said. Peter gave a message that evidently James hadn't seen before. I hope we all see it today, and I wish all mankind in the earth could see it, but it isn't quite time for them to see it yet. And James rose up after they held their peace. James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me," as though he would speak very loudly. He didn't have a loud speaker, I don't think. But if he had one, I'm sure you'd hear it all through the auditorium. "Hearken unto me," he said. "Simon," that's Peter, "hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this, after the Lord has picked out a people to bear the name of Jesus," or in other words, to become the bride of Jesus, to bear his name, "and all the prophets agree to these words," James said, after this, after the church is selected, the bride is selected, "then there'll be a change in the program. I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the remainder or residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Now here's a subject, friends. We very seldom hear a sermon on it, and it's a very, very important one. The Apostle Peter was telling this group way back there in the early church how the Lord is at first visiting the Gentiles to pick out or take out people to bear the name of Jesus. And after this would be over with and complete, why then he'd build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and set it up. And I believe, friends, if we'll follow this very carefully through our Bibles, we'll have a better understanding of the regathering of Israel. Of course, we see the Lord is getting the land ready for the house of Israel. And it's spectacular the way things are going in Palestine. Millions of boxes and cases of citrus fruit are sent all over the world. They're eating it today in New York. And they claim that the citrus fruit is grander, richer, sweeter than anything grows in any parts of the earth. And I believe that that's just right, because God Almighty's back of it. It's preparation, getting the land ready for the Jew, for the establishment of the house of Israel. You know, friends, there's something very spectacular about these things. The Lord's hand is in the matter, there's no doubt about it. The Lord is bringing back his people to the land of promise. And the time will come when the Lord will bless them, establish them. But that cannot come until the bride is all selected. And it was the same thing at the first advent of the Lord. Jesus told us about this in John, the 7th chapter, and the 39th verse. I'll read it. You'll be surprised. Some folks think that when John and Peter and James were walking around in Palestine with Jesus, that they were begotten of the Holy Spirit. But they were not. But Peter wasn't even converted. The Lord said to Peter, "When thou art converted, Peter." Jesus said something here in this verse that helps us to understand the day we're living in and the establishment of the house of Israel. "But this spake he," Jesus, "of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive." Hadn't received it yet. No, but they should receive it. "For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, these are words from Jesus. The Holy Spirit to be gettle for the church, the bride that he was selecting, could not be given until Jesus was glorified. You'll say, "Well, these men had the Spirit of the Lord, didn't they?" Well, the Lord imparted his Spirit, a measure of it, to them so they could heal the sick and do this wonderful work upon the earth. But they were not begotten of the Holy Spirit. That couldn't take place until Jesus was glorified. Jesus plainly said that. And so they were not begotten of the Holy Spirit to a change of nature until Pentecost. When Pentecost came, then the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were converted, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And I believe it's the same thing today. The Holy Spirit cannot come upon the Jewish people until the church is glorified. Upset the whole plan of God. Otherwise, friends, it would upset the entire plan. But when the church is in glory after this, then the Lord will do this wonderful work with the house of Israel. Now I'm turning to Romans 11, chapter, the 25th verse. There we read that blindness in part has happened unto Israel. Just in part. They haven't been totally blinded, but in part. They're blinded in respect to the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah. And therefore, St. Paul said, blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Same thought. They're blinded, and they'll stay blind until the full number of the bride class has come in. Then after this, after they come in, and they're glorified, then the Lord will turn to the house of Israel. And the blindness will be taken away. For out of Zion shall come the deliverer, whose deliverer, the Lord Jesus, and his bride, and his bride will be with him. Not while they're on this side of the veil, but And they're glorified. They're not yet glorified. But when they're glorified, then blindness will be taken away from Israel. And so all Israel shall be saved. For out of Zion the deliverer shall come. Now, friends, following these things carefully, we find that the idea and the proclamation by some that Jacob's trouble is over with, and the Lord is pouring His Spirit upon Israel, and we're sailing into the kingdom, is all foolishness, not right. It's running ahead of the Lord. It's not true. Jacob's trouble is not over with. The Lord is not pouring His Spirit upon Israel. No, not yet. Not until the church is in glory. After this, when the church is in glory, then these things will take place. You see, friends, while a person is anxious to have these things take place, they may make statements of this kind, but they're not true. We're running ahead of the Lord. We can't do that. And let us not do it, friends, because it won't be pleasing, and it isn't pleasing to the Lord. In Romans 11, 12, and 15, there's a statement that I'd like to read here in this connection. All these things will help us to understand. Romans 11, talking about the Jewish house. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For of the casting away of them, the house of Israel, be the reconciling of the world, how could that be? Well, the casting of them away meant that the Lord would turn to the Gentiles and pick out of the Gentiles a people for His name. And then when they're all there and they're glorified, they would be used to reconcile the world, wouldn't they? That's right. But what shall the receiving of them be, the Jews? The receiving of them shall be but life from the dead. The entire resurrection of the dead, friends, depends upon the receiving of the Jew. Because salvation is of the Jew first. Jesus said, Paul said, salvation is of the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. There's something remarkable about this, because Jesus said to His disciples, and to you and to me, in Matthew 19, 28 and 29, Jesus said that in the regeneration, that's the millennium when the human family will be regenerated, in the regeneration when the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Himself, and the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of His glory, then shall ye, my bride, those that He's picking out, selecting to become the bride of Jesus, then shall ye sit upon thrones. And as we saw this morning, they'll all become kings and sit upon thrones. Now, what is the work, what Jesus said, He told us? The next statement, He says, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, there's your authority, friends, from the Lord Jesus Himself. That the Lord Jesus and His bride comes out of Zion, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Not two tribes or 10 tribes. No, British Israel isn't in this. It isn't taught in the Bible. No, it's 12 tribes. The whole house of Israel, as the Lord tells us in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Firstly, the 12th, 13th, 14th verses, He shows that when this time comes, the Lord said, I'll open your graves and I'll cause you to come out of your graves. Whatever condition or place they may be, they're going to return. And I will cause you to come out of your graves, and I will plant you in your own land, and ye shall know that I'm the Lord your God. And I'll put my spirit within you, and ye shall live. No one can live until the Lord puts his spirit within them. He's not going to take a spirit out of a spirit realm some way and put it in a body. Don't say that. The Lord said he'd put his spirit within them, and they shall live. And as you read on, you'll come to the valley of dry bones. I don't know how often we used to read that, but didn't get much out of it. Because we couldn't see that the house of Israel would be reestablished in Palestine. But here is another beautiful setting. Must have been a surprise to the prophet Ezekiel. This great army began to rise. And sinew came upon the bones, and flesh. A great army. And then he said to Ezekiel, prophesy, Ezekiel, the wind to blow upon these bones. And then the question was asked, oh, who are they? And the Lord answered himself. He said, this is the whole house of Israel. You see how the prophecy beautifully showed that he'd bring them from every nook and crook and grave and hideout. He'll bring them all back. Bone upon bone and sinew upon sinew. Not literal, no. It says it's their hopes. Their hopes were dead, but now their hopes became alive. And their hopes are becoming alive today. And then he asked the question, who are they? And this is the whole house of Israel. Not 2 tribes or 10 tribes, friends, but all of them. The whole house of Israel. Now those things, friends, are beautiful to us because it harmonizes the Bible. If the Bible tells us that salvation is of the Jew first, human salvation, and then to the Gentiles, well, then we should find the scriptures to prove it. And this proves it from cover to cover. That after the bride is selected, then, friends, these things are going to take place, and the bride is not yet complete. So the Lord is not pouring his spirit upon all flesh, beginning with the house of Israel, but it will come. Just as sure as we're here this afternoon, it'll come. But I don't believe it'll come until the church is glorified. And when the church is glorified, friends, then step by step all these things will be accomplished and come to pass. Now I'm looking at a prophecy that I've jotted down in Jeremiah, the first chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was, I believe, a young man. It tells us in the first chapter of Jeremiah that he was consecrated and sanctified before he was born. That's a very remarkable statement. Our pastor said he believed that he pictured you and me. Well, why? Well, we too are consecrated and we're sanctified. Sanctification means to be set apart for service. Yes, we're consecrated and set apart before we're born. Before we're born into the kingdom, you see. So Jeremiah was consecrated and sanctified before he was born. Beautifully pictures you in your walk of life. Firstly, you see, the child is begotten, a beginning, a begettal. Then it's born. And so it is with you and I. First, there must be a begettal, a beginning, and quickening, energizing, and finally you'll be born in the kingdom. But during this time, while we're begotten, yes, consecrated, yes, and sanctified, pictured by John the Baptist, or rather by Jeremiah. Now while Jeremiah was standing there, the voice of the Lord came to Jeremiah and asked him a question, "What seest thou?" Jeremiah said that he seen an almond rod that budded. And the Lord says, "Thou hast well seen, I will hasten to perform it." Well, what is the almond rod? Well, Bible students who study the truth, and since the beginning of the harvest, they'd learned much about the tabernacle. And the most holy of the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. And in that Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod that budded. Two tables of the law, the golden pot of manna. Aaron's rod that budded pictured the elect character of Christ. And it's taking all of this time to select, create the Christ family. But you see, the Lord knew, and so he said, "I will hasten to perform it." And then the voice came again to Jeremiah, saying, "Jeremiah, what seest thou?" And Jeremiah was looking towards the north country, and he said, "I see a seething pot." Isaac Leisure translates that from the Hebrew, "I see a boiling cauldron, seething pot." And the Lord said, "Out of the north country an evil shall break forth unto all the inhabitants of the land." Now ask yourself the question, what is north of Palestine? Russia. And really, what has taken place? What has come out of Russia? Well, that radical spirit spreading the whole earth, pictured by a seething pot. And it's surely seething, isn't it? It's seething up in Canada too, friends. Worse than it is in this country. You might as well take a broom and try to sweep back the waves of the Atlantic Ocean. You can't stop that radical spirit. It's spreading all over the earth. The Lord foretold it 4,000 years ago through the prophet Jeremiah. It would come out of the north, and the north country is identified in a number of places as Russia, north of Palestine. And the Lord said that kingdoms of the north would set their gates at the entering of Jerusalem. A time will come. I believe the program is already on, brethren. Because all the war machinery that Egypt has and Arabs have came from Russia. They supplied them with everything that they need. You see, Russia is working a roundabout way to get into Palestine. Palestine's a very, very rich country. Has much gold and oil. And of course, all the countries would like to have it. But I think this is the way that Russia is scheming to get it. Strike through Egypt. Nazar, the Pharaoh of Egypt, today, said a few weeks ago that he would drive Israel into the sea. But he's not going to do it. There was another Pharaoh one time that said he would drive Israel into the sea, and he pursued after them too, didn't he? But what happened to him? He was destroyed, and all his host were destroyed by his own devices. And so it will come to pass again. Every nation that will fight against Palestine, Jerusalem, God will destroy. And I'll prove it with your Bible in just a few moments. They'll all be destroyed. If they were wise, they'd keep their fingers and hands off in Israel. They're playing with dynamite. The time has now come to destroy them. I don't think it's too far off. Old Babylon is ready to go down. Babylon is very powerful today. From New York to Chicago, friends, it's solid Catholic. I mean, when I say solid Catholic, mayors, chief of the police, broadcasters, newspapers, periodicals, they are running the whole thing, the whole show. Building new churches. And the daughters are building new churches, crowding them. Old Babylon is going up where it should be, way up, way up. You remember the 18th chapter of Revelation, it says it shall be lifted up, lifted way up. Couldn't come down to lifted way up. First it must be lifted up. And it's there today. Now it can come down, and your Bible says it'll come down like a millstone cast into the sea, never, never to return. Babylon the Great. Mother and the daughters. All must come down. You see how that's working hand in hand with all these other things in the earth? We're almost there, friends, for the overthrow of Satan's empire, political, financial, ecclesiastical, and even the colored situation, too. Yes, the elements are melting with fervency of heat, and it's getting hotter and hotter all the time. I'd just like to read a few clippings that came from New York. Mr. Babson, confidential report. Only a few countries who are not bankrupt. Hardly a week passes that we see one or two countries reduce the value of their money. Russia, the most important one of all. The official rate of the rubles was 25 cents last week. Today, it's 3 cents. That's the reason there's an overthrow today in Russia. The Spanish currency was reduced to another 33%. From India to France, dollars are worthless. Now the cashing of the savings bond is on. Banks, insurance companies, and individuals are selling their bonds. The Treasury Department can hardly take care of it. That's the day we're living. What's her dollar worth? Not worth very much, is it? 4 big Russian leaders were ousted. Some of the big bugs were ousted by the little bugs. The plowshares are going very deep. 9th chapter of Amos represents the time of trouble. And the plowshares go deep, brings up the undercrust, and the upper crust goes under. That's the picture between labor and capital. Steel has risen $6 a ton, and as a result, there'll be crisis, strikes. Everything will rise. Everything will go up. Look out for more strikes. Well, what does it all mean? It means the end of the age. The half was never told, Fred. But as we see these things come to pass, we lift up our heads and rejoice. For we know that our deliverance draweth nigh. The Lord said about the Jews that he'd make a new covenant with the whole house of Israel. And he said, I'll forgive their iniquities and their sins will I remember no more. What a kind God we have. This stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, were disobedient to God, and because of unbelief they were cast away. But the Lord said, I will forgive their iniquities, in Hebrews 8, 11 and 12. And I believe, friends, that the time will soon come when he'll make a new covenant with the whole house of Israel. And then, friends, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon them. Now, can you visualize with me the Spirit of the Lord coming upon the Jew first, and then the Gentile? Because he said he would pour his Spirit upon all flesh. Now when they come back, friends, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them, it'll mean quick understanding, discernment, knowledge. They will know then they're in the kingdom. Because the Spirit of the Lord will come upon them, not to be ghetto, but for a quick understanding, a knowledge. The spirit of begettal is merely for the church in the gospel age, for one purpose, that they may have a change of nature. Why is this all given, friends, during the gospel age? Well, those whom he's selecting during this gospel age to take upon themselves the name of Jesus and become the bride of Jesus, they're going to have a change of nature from human to divine nature on the highest plane in the universe. And there's only way that this thing could be done. And the way that our Heavenly Father's doing it. He's asking for you and me and those that become the bride class to lay down our humanity, our human nature upon the altar. And he begets us of the Holy Spirit, and we become new creatures in Christ and have the mind of Christ. Now, while we're tabernacling in the flesh, and the humanity and the old human nature is dying daily with Christ Jesus upon the altar, we're begotten, a beginning, a begettal of the Holy Spirit. And we're following in the steps of Jesus to make our calling and election sure. And when the time comes, the death of the humanity and the human nature will take place, and this new mind, the new creature, will receive a divine body on the highest order in the universe, after the order of Melchizedek, the greatest order in the universe. And that, what does that mean? A priest upon the throne. And they'll have the divine nature, and they'll have a divine body like Jesus has, and like our Heavenly Father has. And the old humanity, the old human nature, will be gone. The only way it could be done is to have a change of nature, and in this manner. You see that? That idea, a person dies and their spirit flies off somewhere, that we've been taught, you'd think this earth was an incubator hatching out angels. Al Capone and all of the roughnecks of the country, the moment they die, they'd fly up there and Peter'd give them a harp. Why, friends, it's all a foolishness. No one could have a change of nature until they walked in the steps of Jesus and laid down their humanity. Get rid of that human nature, and then finally they'll be born of the Spirit and the highest nature in the universe. Now that's all reasonable, isn't it? That's where our Heavenly Father is doing it. That's right. And think, the whole human family are going to receive too the Spirit of the Lord, but not to begettle, not for a change of nature. Oh no, no, for quick understanding, knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. These things are all so beautiful and so grand. Now there's something in the 16th chapter of Revelation I want you to think about. Now, when I make any statements, friends, I always try to have it proven by the Bible, but I'm never dogmatic. I don't never understand me. I'm not dogmatic about these things. Now, in the 16th chapter of Revelation, beginning with the 13th verse, we read, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And these are spirits of devils, not Holy Spirit. You notice that? Spirits of devils, working miracles before all the kings of the earth and the whole world. And then it says, the next verse, and he gathered them, who the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, and the whole world, he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Then the seventh vial was poured out. The six vials have already been poured. And the six vials were poured out in the earth. But the seventh vial is poured out into the air. Some people thought at one time that that was the finished mystery. But the finished mystery wasn't poured out in the air. It was poured out in the earth. And so it was the wrong thing. That wasn't it. I believe the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, sixth volume of scripture studies, the six vials were poured out in the earth. The seventh vial is poured out in the air. And where is the message going today? In the air. Over the housetop, Jesus said, those things done in the secret chamber shall be proclaimed over the housetop. That's where you get it. Whether it's radio or television, comes over the housetop, comes through the air. Isn't that right? That's right. We have 500,000 watt station in India. Reaches 80 million English speaking people. If we get 1 million of that, we'd all clap our hands. Just think of an audience of 1 million that would listen to Frank and Ernest in one setting, and I believe it, and perhaps more. And that message goes right over to Jerusalem and Palestine as clear as a bell. Oh, how thankful and happy we are. Now at last, Frank and Ernest is in Palestine once a week. And it comes way over from India. And that message goes into London, England, over that station from India, just as clear as a bell. So powerful. Responses are coming from everywhere in every corner of the earth. And we have a 100,000 watt station in Monte Carlo. Our dear brother Caporanto from Rochester, New York, an Italian brother, I've been in his home several times. He's been over there and helped organize some classes in Italy. And you know, friends, as a result of the Frank and Ernest program in Monte Carlo, given in the English or in the French and the Italian language, they've organized, Brother Caporanto and some of our Italian brethren, Brother Baldi, organized 50 classes in Italy about 6 months ago, and I think probably there's more than that now, maybe 60 or 70. Bible classes like your class here in Italy as a result of the Frank and Ernest program. And they have two pilgrims in the Italian language doing the work like I'm doing from class to class. And we never could get into Italy. Pastor could never get into Italy. Now the way is opened. Why? Because I think the seventh vial is being poured out in the air. Now you may like that, you may not. Take it or leave it. But I feel, friends, that's where it's going. A proper place for it to go. A message. Each volume was a message. Separate and distinct. The message is going today through the air, friends. Yes, 6th of Luxembourg. Why Luxembourg, friends, is solid Catholic. No one ever could get in Luxembourg. and we're broadcasting over a 50,000 watt station in Luxembourg, and it reaches all of England, Poland, Germany, doing a marvelous work. And who's back of it? God Almighty. The Lord's back of it. Now, I said to Brother Caporanto, I said, now, since you have 50 classes, we have 50 classes in Italy and more being organized. Well, he said, the entire nation is becoming radical, extremely radical. There are perhaps 10 or 11 factions there now. And they're all as bad as communists, if not worse, and they all hate the Vatican. But he said, there's many people who still believe in God. And they listen to Frank and Ernst, and they're the ones that are coming to our meetings. I said to him, well, now, do you suppose they'll all make a consecration, be of the bride class? Oh, brother, you know better than that, he said. No, there's maybe one or two in a class that are consecrated, or three. And how about all the rest? Well, they're seeking meekness and seeking righteousness. And the promise is that the Lord will hide them in the day of his anger. Take them through the fire because they're seeking meekness and seeking righteousness. And that's been promised. And our pastor told us it would be that way. Now, while we're on this, there's one scripture I'd like to read to confirm this. And here it is, the 41st Psalm. Prophet David. Beginning of the first verse. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. We've entered the time of trouble. And finally we'll have the last phase of the time of trouble, and that'll be the battle of Armageddon. And when that comes, every man's hand shall be against his neighbor. There shall be no peace to him that goeth without, or him that cometh within. And there'll be no hire for man or beast. It won't even be a job for a mule. But the Lord said here, since we're in this time of trouble, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he'll be blessed in heaven? No, blessed upon the earth. Earthly salvation. For those that seek meekness and seek righteousness, the Lord will hide them in the day of his anger. But it says, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. You know, I wondered about that. The Lord Jesus said in the Beatitudes, the fifth chapter of Matthew, talking about those that are poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs shall receive the kingdom of God. Well, you know, brethren, we were all poor in spirit, were we not? We didn't know anything about the truth. What did we know about the truth? Oh, how poor and wretched we were. Why, we didn't know anything about the spiritual and the earthly phase of God's kingdom. We were praying, thy kingdom come, but we didn't know what we're praying about. We were poor in the spirit, but someone talked to us about the message. Then we began to get rich in spirit. And you talk to somebody and they get rich in spirit, like those brethren over in Italy now. They're becoming rich in spirit. And that's the class, the Lord said he would preserve them in the time of trouble and keep them alive, and they'd be blessed upon the earth. But Brother Caporanto said it's that way in the Italian language too. Just that way. That's the group. The Lord is selecting that group now, friends. And he's going to take through the fire. The time of trouble, the battle of Armageddon. But they must seek meekness. They must seek righteousness. Strive earnestly to become acquainted with God's plans and purposes and his kingdom message. And people that'll come for miles and miles and walk, they haven't any conveyances. They'll walk to these meetings in order to get the truth, to see the plan of the ages and know there's going to be a kingdom established upon the earth. There'll be many, many that'll be waiting for that. Don't you believe that? Of course we do. The broadcasting is going on everywhere throughout the earth so that men may seek meekness. And how do they get it? Through the air. And what is it? The message of the kingdom. Then right after that, the seventh vial was poured out of the air. It said, "It is done." I'm just giving you this to think about, friends. I know you're going to do some thinking. Right or wrong, nevertheless, the message is doing the work, isn't it? Isn't the message spectacular? Isn't it wonderful? Just the message that God wants. Why? Because it harmonizes the entire Bible. Now ministers and all classes of people write in and ask about these perplexing questions. Now I'm turning to the ninth chapter of Amos. I'd like to have you read the entire chapter. You won't forget that. Ninth chapter of Amos. And the same thoughts that I'm giving you now are recorded in the 30th chapter of Jeremiah. And there it speaks of Jacob's last trouble. And I believe Jacob's last trouble come right in the midst of Armageddon. Hasn't come yet. But it's coming. That'll be the last trouble that Israel will have. Then the Lord will deliver them. And then he's going to do a wonderful work among them, and I'll read that in a moment. But firstly now, the ninth chapter of Amos. Behold, something spectacular is going to take place, something inspiring, connection with the Jewish house. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon a sinful kingdom. And I will destroy it, that sinful kingdom, from off the face of the earth. Saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Israel, saith the Lord. Well, what could it be? That sinful kingdom. Jeremiah said, that's the kingdom that's called by my name. What kingdom upon the earth is called by the name of the Lord? You couldn't say it's Russia because they don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in God. But they're going to be destroyed. Probably the first ones that will be destroyed. Because they have their eyes on Israel. You remember the Lord said in the 14th chapter of Zechariah, that when that time comes and they go down there to Palestine to take a spoil, and the Lord said, I'll fight for my people as I did in the days of battle. And their eyes shall consume in their holes, and their tongue shall consume in their mouths, and their flesh shall consume while they stand upon their feet. That'll be Russia's Waterloo. But that isn't a sinful kingdom. It's a kingdom that's called by my name. And the only one on the earth is Christendom. What does Christendom mean? Christ's kingdom. Called by his name. But it's a fraud. It isn't Christendom. It never was. They call it that, but it isn't. It isn't Christ's kingdom. Do you think there'll be any suicides in Christ's kingdom? And all this corruption and debauchery, iniquity, unrighteousness, envy, jealousy, hatred, murder, and war in Christ's kingdom? No. But this sinful kingdom is filled with corruption. Where is all the corruption? In Christendom. Sinful kingdom. And the Lord says, I'll destroy it from the face of the earth. That's Babylon. That's right. And Babylon must be destroyed. That's right.
go down like a millstone cast in the sea, never to return. How will it be destroyed? With violence. Ah, the violence is beginning to flare out already, isn't it? It'll come, all right, all right, all right. Yes, indeed. Russia can't loan a dollar from any nation. They're just about bankrupt. And the United States couldn't give them any money because Santa Claus' bag's empty. They know it. The greatest financial crash the world has ever seen is just around the corner. That's right. Listen to what he said. I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. You'll find the same thing in Jeremiah 30 and 11, almost word for word. We didn't put that in the Bible, did we? But you know, friends, these things are becoming so plain. Now look, in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, he's talking about the house of Israel, and this will apply to all the people around about us, all of Christendom, the whole world. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, a real human heart. Be no more selfishness, will there? The Lord's going to do that with the house of Israel and all mankind. And there's no organization, political, financial, or ecclesiastical, on this earth that could take the stony heart out of man. The only one can do that is Christ Jesus the Lord, and he's going to do it. Because God Almighty directed the issue. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land, L-A-N-D, land that I gave to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's people going up and down the street selling books say that applies to them. That they're the house of Israel. That's a more religious humbug. Who are their fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? No, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be ashamed of them. They come back. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the fathers of the Jewish house. Can't you see the great mistake these people are making? There's two houses of Israel. Jesus said that the spiritual house of Israel would bless the fleshly house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. The spiritual house of the Lord Jesus and his bride in glory. They're the ones that are going to be used to bless the fleshly house of Israel. And I will multiply the fruit of the trees and increase the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach or famine among the nations. No more famine come upon them. And it'll come to the Jewish house first and then go to the Gentiles. All the people of the earth, then shall ye remember your own evil ways. But the Lord said, I'll forgive your iniquities and your sins will I remember no more. Yeah, wonderful thoughts. And in Isaiah 13 and 12, the Lord says, there I'll take out of man a stony heart and give him a heart of flesh. And I'll make man more precious than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir. All men could do today is to invite somebody to come down the sawdust path, confess Jesus, and tell them they're saved. And that's their insurance policy to keep them out of the fire. That's all they do it for. That's what my sister-in-law told me. She's one of them. I said, Ann, you forgot something, didn't you? She was going to church in the Sunday morning. No, she said, I don't think I did. Well, I said, there's an envelope laying on the table. Oh, yes, she said, I want to take that along. She had $3 in that. I said, Ann, you don't want to forget that, you know. That's your fire insurance policy to keep you out of the fire. She said, that's right, and she said, that's the best one I ever heard. That's all. Now, friends, the Lord's the only one that can take a stony heart out of man. And he said, I'll make man more precious than fine gold. Even the golden wedge of Ophir. We don't know what that was, but God provided that. That was the gold they used in Solomon's temple, the gold they used in the tabernacle, that fine gold. You never saw it, and I never saw it. But the Lord's going to make man more precious than even that. He knows how to take the stony heart, the selfish heart, the heart of pride, the haughtiness out of man. He set aside 1,000 years to do it. Don't you think he can do it? The Lord Jesus will give that power. He has that power. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Yes, he'll do it. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the Gentiles, whither ye went. He's not doing it so much for them, but for his own name's sake, and because of Father Abraham. He made the promise to Abraham. He said, Abraham, and thee and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And God, when he makes a promise, he carries it out. And he's going to carry out that promise. Yes, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among all the heathen, because of the Jew, of course, which he hath profaned in the midst of them. The Lord knows how to take care of this, and he will. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And a new heart will I give unto you. I'm glad of that, aren't you? You see how beautiful these scriptures all are outlined in our Bible. Now let us turn to another one, friends, in the 65th chapter of Isaiah. And I remember, you mind if I put that over here, brother? Thank you. That's enough. I remember in bygone days, we'd use these scriptures in a public way. Our pastor used to use them too, but we didn't pay so much attention to them as we do now. Because, you see, we see the thing taking place right before our very eyes. All the nations, so to speak, have got Israel cornered. But friends, they're going to come out of that corner. The Lord's going to bring them out. And if he has to destroy all the nations of the earth to do it, he's going to do it. Now see what he says in the 65th chapter of Isaiah. Read the 18th verse. He's talking to us this afternoon. He said, be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. My Lord, what are you going to create? You want us to rejoice with you? Yes. You're going to create something? Yes. Something spectacular. And what is it? Listen. For behold, something spectacular. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And he wants us to rejoice with him. I paid no attention to that so much. And look into the 18th verse. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem. God, you going to rejoice in Jerusalem? He is right now. bringing them back. Everything's getting ready. Time clock is set. And God is rejoicing in that which has taken place upon the earth. And he's asking us to rejoice with him. There it is, right in your Bible. And I, God said, will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. They've been weeping and crying ever since Jesus stood at Jerusalem. And he said, your house is left unto you desolate. They've been weeping, and they had their weeping walls. And they've been crying, and soon, friends, the time will come when they'll cry no more. You remember when Jesus bowed his head in death? He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And when he bowed his head in death, that great veil in the temple, 60 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick, we never saw a veil like that. That veil rent in twain and parted. And back of that veil was the Ark of the Covenant, pictured God's presence as Shekinah glory. But it already had been taken away, it had been removed. But what is this picture when Jesus bowed his head in death? It means that now he completely took away the glory from the house of Israel. And the veil departed, rent apart, and rent in twain and departed. Or in other words, the Lord now would turn to the Gentiles and select from them a people for his name. Completely cast off the house of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Then that blindness will be taken away from the house of Israel, and all Israel shall be saved. Now, you rejoice with me, he said. The only ones upon this earth that will rejoice with the Lord, not even the house of Israel, they don't see it, because they're still blind as a bat. But you and I see it. The new creation, the truth people, we see it. Now, friends, let us in a special manner, in a special way, rejoice with God, because he's joying over the thing and rejoicing over it. And he wants us to do the same, because he said, behold, I'll create a new heavens, the Lord Jesus and his bride, new organized society upon this earth,